Let us pray. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of grace. Even when I was a sinner, your offer of salvation proved your good character. This Christmas, I recognize the ultimate gift is you and the salvation you have given me through Christ Jesus. Remind me to cherish this gift, which is a result of your grace. I celebrate this new, pure heart you have given me and the presence of your Holy Spirit within it. You have cleaned my house and moved in. Wow, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. I am forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying with me today. Now discover the profound intricacies of the heartbeat of faith with Dr. Andrew Farley.
A most precious gift is the gift of God's grace, and grace is the greatest gift we can give each other this Christmas.
The men brought in a small chest. In it were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Unbeknownst to the wise men, these gifts would represent the royalty, divinity, and death of Christ. In these presents were hidden secrets to the life and death of God's chosen king. After giving the gifts, the men said goodbye and returned to their home.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Heartbeat of Faith podcast. I'm Dr. Andrew Farley, and today we continue our journey on the road to Christmas. We sat beside Mary when Gabriel delivered the news of Christ's birth. We traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem and witnessed the struggle of Mary and Joseph. And we put ourselves in the place of the shepherds who beheld the newborn king. Now we follow the path of wise men and contemplate the true meaning of their gifts. The wise men followed the star to Jerusalem. They hoped to find the king of the Jews in a palace, but only found a jealous and vindictive king.
"Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" they asked. "We have followed his star and have come to worship him." King Herod winced at their words. He had heard rumors from the shepherds about a newborn baby. However, Herod was the king of the Jews, and he would not allow for a child to cause any sort of chaos. He hid his silent rage from the wise men and called for one of the priests. "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" Herod asked. "That would be Bethlehem, my lord, the birthplace of David," he responded. Herod smiled and pulled the wise men in close. "My friends, this is a most joyous occasion. Go to Bethlehem. There you should find the child, and when you find him, please send word back to me." Herod gave a slithering smile. "I would love to worship him as well." The wise men departed for Bethlehem. Herod watched them leave. As the door closed, his smile turned quickly into a scowl. He would not let any child, Messiah or not, threaten his power.
King Herod lived in a palace draped in decadence. His halls were adorned with expensive tapestries, and servants were at his beck and call. What a contrast Herod's life was to the true king, Jesus. The Magi came to the palace expecting to find the promised Messiah, but they only found an insecure and vindictive king. The real king was dwelling in a stable in Bethlehem.
Mary was tending to the baby while Joseph tended to the fire. They had found themselves a nice home to stay in while Mary recovered and nursed the child. The air was cool outside, but their home was filled with warmth and love. Joseph kissed Mary's forehead and then bent down to kiss Jesus' nose. The baby cooed, and the couple smiled down at him. As the family shared a moment of tenderness, they heard a knock at the door. Joseph got up to answer and saw the three wise men draped in expensive robes standing outside. "We have come to see the king," one of them said. So Joseph let them inside. They saw him resting in the arms of his mother and bowed. Mary watched as these men of power and knowledge worshipped at the feet of her child. Her and Joseph were beginning to realize just how special this moment was.
God continually reminds us in Scripture that He doesn't care about riches or outward appearance. He cares more about the nobility of the heart. Consider the humble beginnings of King David, for example, and God's criteria for choosing him.
When they came, Samuel looked at the oldest, Eliab. He was a well-built man, tall, muscular, and had charismatic qualities that made up a king. "Surely this must be the Lord's anointed," Samuel thought to himself. Yet God interrupted him and said, "Do not look at his stature or looks, for I do not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look upon the heart."
Although the Magi were wealthy like kings, they came with the attitude of giving, not receiving. They placed gifts at Jesus' feet with reverence and awe. It took extraordinary humility for men of their status to bow before a child, but they knew Jesus was more than a child.
The men brought in a small chest. In it were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Unbeknownst to the wise men, these gifts would represent the royalty, divinity, and death of Christ. In these presents were hidden secrets to the life and death of God's chosen king. After giving the gifts, the men said goodbye and returned to their home.
It doesn't matter how wealthy you are or your accumulated resources. Solomon, the richest man of his time, exposed the vanity of riches. Consider his words regarding the pursuit of wealth and pleasure.
"I also gathered silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got myself male and female singers, and the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep from them. I didn't withhold my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced because of all my labor, and this was my portion from all my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had worked, and at the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and a chasing after wind, and there was no profit under the sun." Ecclesiastes 2:8 through 11.
God cares most that we give freely, from the heart, and that we enjoy it. Remember the poor widow who came into the temple to give to God. She was surrounded by men and women far more affluent than she was. But the piles of gold they gave didn't even come close to her gift in God's eyes.
Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and saw how the multitude cast money into the treasury. Many who were rich cast in much. A poor widow came, and she cast in two small brass coins, which equal a quadrans coin. He called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Most certainly, I tell you, this poor widow gave more than all those who are giving into the treasury. For they all gave out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on." Mark 12:41 through 44.
A most precious gift is the gift of God's grace, and grace is the greatest gift we can give each other this Christmas. More than flashy presents or bonuses at work, what we ultimately value today is the gift of God's amazing grace through Christ Jesus. We've received an imperishable inheritance of unconditional love, limitless forgiveness, and more than enough grace for now and eternity. the greatest thing we can do for others this season is share that grace with them. How? Maybe through a hug, a handshake, a listening ear, or however Christ wants to express Himself through us. May the joy and wonder of Jesus warm your soul this Christmas. Thank you for listening to today's Heartbeat of Faith podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode or learned something new about the Bible, share it with a friend or family member. Download the Pray.com app, and for more encouragement in God's grace, visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org.